Reading from John 10. Jesus is speaking. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is my command I received from my Father.
On the 22nd, am I on? You can hear me. I can't hear me. On the 22nd of November 2003, in front of nearly 83,000 fans, a million others watching sitting on their couches across the world, England defeated Australia in the World Cup final. And it was great, wasn't it? If anyone likes rugby, it was a great moment. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But this was the culmination of 6 years of hard work. It didn't happen overnight, but it was coming. Earlier that year, they had won the Six Nations Grand Slam, defeating every single team and winning in Ireland, in Dublin, in front of a rowdy crowd. They defeated the All Blacks in New Zealand for the first time since 1973. And they'd beaten Australia, the world champions. They were the first England team to ever win against Australia in Australia. They were on top of the world. They were number one in the world rankings. So they went to the World Cup as favourites. And it's not often England go to a World Cup as favourites, is it? Let's be honest about it. But they very quickly fell. Those things faded. Two crushing defeats in the 2004 Six Nations. Then a tour to New Zealand and Australia in which they lost every single game. In Australia, they got hammered 51-15. Less than a year after they'd won the World Cup. By September, Clive Woodward had left his role as England coach. And the reality was England never played like world champions. It was a huge disappointment for England fans. It seemed Clive Woodward had a clear vision of winning the World Cup, and if you look into anything, he was an inspiration. But once they had won, there wasn't the vision going forwards. You may have heard the proverb, where there is no vision, people perish. And vision is closely related to success. Without vision, it's easy to be like, you know, those flies that kind of go round in the middle of your room and they just do, 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 and they just go round and you think, what on earth are you doing? What's wrong with you? Get out of my house. You know what I mean? But if you've got no vision, it can feel like you're, you know, and how do they do it? It's almost like a circle, but it's angled and they always seem to go the same way. It's quite amazing, but they get nowhere. And if that's you, it leads to a lack of direction and frustration, disillusioned, a whole host of other things. But you know, this biblical proverb is not a great translation. If you know anything about your Bible, the first language of your Bible is not English. It's not even one language, it's two, Hebrew and Greek, and they're translated for us. And this is based on the King James Version, which is 400 years old, and since then a lot has changed, a lot has been discovered. And a truer translation of this proverb would be, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he or she who keeps the law. This morning we're going to look at vision. We're going to look at our vision for 2020, the vision for us as a church. And I believe that as we take hold of this biblically based prophetic vision as a people, I believe it will help us to hold fast to God, hold fast to him, to walk his path and to grow in obedience to him. If you're told you've got 2020 vision, I wish I had, but I don't, it means you can see clearly at a distance of 20 feet. And for us as a church, I think it's very important that we can see very clearly where we're going, what we're doing, from 20 feet, from further back. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And this is our vision for 2020, going deeper together. And this morning we're going to unpack what does this mean? What does it mean for us? And at the end of this morning, I'm going to provide you an opportunity to make a decision. Are you up for this? Is this you? Okay, some of you are already saying, yeah, I'm up for it. I don't even know what it is, but I'm up for it. But I'm going to provide an opportunity for you to sort of say to yourself, to God, to us, hey, I'm in, I'm up for this. So there's three elements for this, going deeper together. Firstly, going deeper in God. Throughout the Bible, shepherding is a reference to the way God cares for his people and leads them. Many of us will know the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Quite familiar. And here in John 10, Jesus contrasts the good shepherd with the thief and with the hired hand. And in Jesus' day, sheep weren't sort of on their hillside all night like they can be in our country with very little predators. At night, they were in something like this. A gatekeeper would stand to protect the sheep at night. They would sit in that entrance. So the shepherd would come along and the sheep would hear his voice and the gatekeeper would know his voice and would be able to come in. But funnily enough, thieves don't tend to come in through the front door. They would hop over the back. The sheep wouldn't know their voice. They would take the sheep by force. Shepherds in the ancient Near East, and even now in the Eastern world, don't drive their sheep with dogs like we do in this country. They speak to them. They whistle a tune and the sheep follow them. There's a story from the 1980s during the Palestinian uprising. The Israeli army came and they decided to punish the village of Bethlehem for not paying their taxes. So they went, and the officer in command decided to round up all the livestock, whack them in one pen as a punishment. Later that week, a woman approached him and asked for her flock. She explained that her husband had died and they were her only source of livelihood. And he pointed at the pen and said, "Well, if you can get them out, if you can identify them, they're yours," thinking he was very funny. She spoke with him and he agreed that if she could separate her animals, that she could have them. So a soldier opened the gate and the woman's son pulled out a small little flute, played a simple tune again and again, and slowly the sheep started to move, and he walked along with his flute, followed by his 25 sheep. Our first priority is to know our Master's voice, to know Jesus' voice. That dog there knows his Master's voice. He hears it on the gramophone. But to know Jesus' voice, to know when he's speaking to us, to know how he's guiding us. He will protect us. He will always be present with us. He's the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And our first priority as followers of Jesus is to know his voice, to learn what Jesus' voice sounds like, to know when he's speaking to us. And then the challenge is to obey, isn't it? But Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord," verse 18. He's a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Unlike a hired hand who would run at the first sign of danger, Jesus laid down his life to protect us from the power of the evil one. He gave himself so that we could find security and safety in the pastures that God provides us. If you're a follower of Jesus, your New Year's resolution, probably broken some of them already, but your plan for the new year should be to go deeper with him. To go deeper with him. To work out your priorities, your plan, your time. To say, actually, this year I want to go deeper with God. I want to go deeper with him. And this is something invariably we're going to do on our own. If you want to go deeper with God, you need a personal relationship with him. You're going to have to put time in. You're going to have to spend time praying, reading the Bible, worship. But we cannot do this alone. We can't be Lone Ranger Christians. We were never meant to be. God created us for relationship with himself, with each other. And we'll struggle to go deeper in God if we're isolated. Being very funny, how are you going to learn to serve others if you're a Lone Ranger Christian and you only serve yourself? The proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And we want to go far, don't we? We want to go far. The Christian walk is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And this is the second part of our 2020 vision, going deeper with each other. I couldn't fit it all in that line. It was a bit frustrating. But the wolf's tactic, like any predator, is to scatter the flock. Now, if you watch David Attenborough talking about a lion, you see that the lion wants to scatter the flock, scatter the herd. And that's what the wolf wants to do. And in many ways, we're at our most vulnerable when we are on our own. Loneliness doesn't help anyone, does it? It's hard when you feel lonely. But the thing is, in our day and age, we can be with others, but not really be with them. Not really connected. We have Facebook friends, or, you know, we can be in a room and you see it. If you go to a restaurant, you can see people sitting with each other and both on their phones and not. Be anywhere. Church can be a place that you come to, a destination. I'm going to church. That's where I'm going. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for a certain period of time. Then I'm going to go home and I'm going to go do my things at home. We're a people to whom we belong, not a place. Churches in this land have become places, but actually it's people. It's about the people. It's where we are. This is the church. But we can have lovely, friendly chats, can't we? You know, hey, what, the weather's not... Why do we Brits always talk about the weather? I can't help it. You know, if it's quiet, if I meet my neighbour, the first thing I say is, oh, the, the weather's all right today. What? I don't know why I say it. It's like embedded in my brain that I must talk about the weather. But it's easy to talk about superficial things and never go deeper, isn't it? Does anyone else find that? I find that. I find I can talk about the sport. I can talk about stuff that just doesn't really matter. And I can be with people and be friendly, but actually never really become friends, deep friends, because that happens. BT used to have a slogan, it's good to talk, and I didn't realise quite how scary that man looked until I looked it up. I thought, really, did they sell phone lines on that? But actually, it's good to talk about stuff that really matters. That's what it's good to talk about. It's good to go deeper with each other, where we share our hopes and dreams, our feelings. There have been many mental health campaigns encouraging people to talk to each other. I was quite surprised that on Saturday night TV during Britain's Got Talent, they stopped talking for a whole minute and said, we're doing this because we want you to talk at home. We believe that it's important that we talk about mental health. We talk about how we're all doing rather than sitting together and not being real with each other. And if that's what happens on Britain's Got Talent, it should certainly happen in the church, shouldn't it? We should be good at being real with each other. We need this. The world needs this, doesn't it? I mean, the world needs real, deep relationships. One of the things I loved about our Freedom Activate group was that we spoke about real things. We got to know each other better because we were talking about, hey, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. And very quickly, you're starting to understand each other more deeply. It was very special, but it takes commitment. It takes commitment to get to know each other better. And this morning, today, this year, I want to call us to a greater level of commitment. To fully commit. I mean, that looks painful, doesn't it? I'm not committing you to something quite so painful. But to go deeper in our relationships with each other. And there's two elements to this. Firstly, Big Church, Little Church. Some of you might remember this from last year. But we're called to gather together in this scenario, all together, the whole church together, Big Church Sundays, but also smaller church, midweek groups. We're called to do both. Actually, this is where we're encouraged, we share together, but often, you know, your conversation with a cup of coffee at the end is quite shallow because of the time. Whereas when we gather together midweek, there's more time, there's more opportunity to go deeper with each other. It's those two. I want to tell you, if you're not here on a Sunday, we miss you. As a church, it's not the same when you're not here. It isn't. It's just not. Both on Sundays and midweek, you're missed if you don't go to a midweek group. It happens. Last term when we did our Activate groups, I was very encouraged when 38 people signed up to groups. I thought, this is brilliant. Probably 25 regularly attended groups, and 6 to 8 of those don't come here on a Sunday morning. So you see, we're better when we commit to being together. Sundays, midweek, growing deeper relationships. I recognise it's a commitment. It's a commitment. You may not always want to do it. That's true. You may not always want to go to group. You may not always feel like it meets your needs. But we're not called to, hey, I come because I want my needs met. We're called to serve each other. And sometimes when you go to group, you might not feel, this really meets my needs. But you think, actually, you know what? By being here, I can meet someone else's needs. I can be there to serve someone else. Next Sunday, we are going to launch our 40 Days of Community campaign. You might have seen the post, you might have seen something was different over here. I've printed some of the stuff out, but it didn't quite fit because it's a slightly different format to which I'm used to. But I will be asking you next Sunday, we'll launch this, to commit to four things. I was Everyone's like, four things, really, Dave? Okay, number one, being here on Sundays as much as possible. I mean, some of you may have things, but as much as possible, being here on Sundays together. Second thing is to commit to being part of a midweek group. We will have, I'm hoping, four midweek groups at different times. But to commit to being part of that for 8 weeks. That's your commitment for 8 weeks. The third thing is I'm going to ask you to commit to reading a chapter a day from the book. It's not the Bible. It's a slightly different book. But it looks at basically the different each other commands, one another commands in the Bible, what it says about being there for one another, day by day. They're short chapters, so it's not like you're having to read a big novel. They're short chapters, but just something to reflect on, to think about. And the fourth thing, which I was very glad Peter shared what he shared this morning, we're going to learn a memory verse each week. You're going to get a little card, and I'm going to encourage you to try and remember that memory verse. You can stick it up where you brush your teeth or not on your car dashboard. I keep getting told off by asking people to do that because I don't want to cause crashes. Okay, but you put it somewhere and try and remember it. Try and learn it, because actually that's one way that we grow, is when we get scripture into our hearts and we think, hey, I remember that. I remember that. So I'm going to ask you to do those four things, and I recognize that is a commitment. It's a commitment for all of us. It's okay, I have to be here on Sundays, and I have to be part of a group. I want to be part of those both. But actually, reading a chapter a day from a book is a commitment. But I want to encourage us all to go on this journey together. Because as we all go on this journey together, God will do something amongst us. Why? So that we can go deeper together. So that we can go as a people, deeper in God, deeper with each other. But there's a second element to this, and that's that we're going to launch a pastoral care team. We ultimately are all responsible for our walk with God. I'm responsible for my walk with God. You've got responsibility for your walk with God. But we also have a responsibility for each other. So I have a responsibility for Peter. Peter has a responsibility for me. That's what we are as a body. And I don't want to change that, but there is a need within our church to strengthen our pastoral care system, which needs some work. So we're going to be looking at that over this next period of time, strengthening our pastoral care, putting in some structures to ensure that each person is cared for. And basically, this is going to be organic, okay? It's not, TJ, this is now your person, this is who you relate to. It's going to be relational, because actually we develop relationships, don't we? That's where, you know, if I feel I connect with someone, I feel I can talk to them. If I don't, then I'm not going to talk to them. That's the nature of life. But it is going to be organized, but organized organic. And we're going to seek to develop this team to strengthen this area of our church life together. Jeremiah prophesied, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that's what we'll have. We'll have a team of people from the church who are going to help shepherd, help each of us to go deeper together. Neil's going to head up this team. But if you sort of think, actually, I feel like God's placed something on my heart for pastoral care, I feel like God's given me a gift, please come and speak to Neil, because we want to develop a team that will help to serve us as a church. We desire that each person's cared for and grows in their faith and then is released into all that God has for you. As we go deeper with God and with each other, we will also go deeper in mission. Verse 16 says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. God is on a mission. The Bible is a book about God's mission. God is on a mission, and he's bringing those who don't know him to himself. He's brought me to know him. I didn't know him, but he brought me to know him. And maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you don't really know Jesus. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. But you've got a sense that God's warming your heart to him. He's drawing you closer. Things that you had no interest in before, suddenly giving you a sense of purpose and a sense of hope. And that's what God does. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, Just keep following that leading from God. God will lead you, and he has much more for you as you respond to him. But for each of us are here today, not one of us is here today on our own account. God has drawn each one of us. And the reason he does this, one of the reasons he does this, is so that we go out and tell others. He changes our lives, and then we can go and share that good news with others. I love the story in the Old Testament about those who are homeless and at the street gate, and they're under siege, and they go, hey, you know what? We're stuffed if we stay here because there's no food anyway. Why don't we go to the enemy camp and just, let's see what happens. And they go, and they find that the enemy has totally disappeared. And they find that there's food, there's gold, there's all this stuff. And they start, indulging themselves and celebrating. And then they suddenly say, you know what? This isn't right. We need to tell others about this. And that's what, as Christians, we've just got something so great, just so amazing that, as we get to know God, our hearts should start to burst with, I've got to share this with others. It's just good news. And that our world desperately needs good news, doesn't it? Desperately needs good news. It needs to know that there's hope, that there's lasting joy, that there's an experience of a love that's so great that everything that you pursue and desire won't fulfill, but you can find it in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not always easy, is it? Does anyone find it easy talking about their faith? Not many of us. It's not always easy, but it's an immense privilege. And when you have that small conversation and suddenly that person shows that interest, you feel like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that privilege of being able to share with someone something very important. And you're going to have opportunities. Day by day life, you have opportunities, don't you? Go out and there's opportunities each day. But as a church, we've got great opportunities. Our community fridge starts this week. This is a great opportunity to go on mission, to go out there, to share with others. You might not be able to make those times. Many can't due to work. But you might be able to say, actually, Neil, if you need someone to pick up some food, I can do that. Or you can pray. Our job club starts this week. A great opportunity to love and serve those who are currently out of work. There might be things Terry, I know, sends out messages weekly about things that you can pray for. You might say, actually, I can do that. I can be involved in that mission in that way. Pulse, every Tuesday night, we see around 20 young people come every week, and many who, before they came, had little or no connection to church. And that's a great opportunity, and you can pray for that, or you could talk to Kate, see if there's ways that you can get involved. But the turning, there's opportunities to go out on the streets and share with others the good news about Jesus. The monthly, people going on the streets, the next one, 25th of Jan, Saturday morning. And who's to say this year that God won't birth other ministries? I mean, this time last year, had I thought about a community fridge? No. Has God suddenly stirred something within us and said, hey, actually, this is a way that you can serve. This is what God's going to do. So going deeper together, Jesus said, slightly later in the chapter we read from, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We have such security in Jesus that we can take bold steps of faith together into all that God's calling us to this year. The question for each one of us is, will you commit? Will you give yourself to this vision? Will you give yourself to God's purposes here on the Ramsden Estate as part of this church? And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Stand up, and by standing, you're saying, I'm up for going deeper with God. I'm up for going deeper in my relationship with each other. You might want to look around the room. You're committing to say, actually, I'm going to get to know people better. And I'm going to let myself, I'm going to open myself up to them as well. And then that you're up for playing your part in God's mission. And this commitment is between you and God primarily. But as we stand, many of us hopefully, you know, it's a commitment to each other actually. No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to be here. I'm committed to what's happening here. So I want to ask you, if you're up for this, would you stand? If this is something that you want to give yourself to. And I want to pray for us. Maybe we might want to hold hands. I know this, we don't always do this, but why don't we hold hands together? Let's pray. Lord, we're your people here. Lord, we're your sheep, Lord. We hear your voice. We know that you speak to us. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, that we would see you move us as a people deeper with yourself this year. Lord, we want to go deeper with you. We want to know you more. We want to know you in all the facets of our lives, all the different areas. Lord, we want to know you more as a people. Lord, we want to experience you more. We want to see you moving us as a people. We want to hear your voice more on a Sunday morning. We want to hear the prophetic more, Lord. We want to pray that you would help us, each one of us, to go deeper with you. But Lord, we want to go deeper together. Lord, we want to go deeper with each other, with learning more about each other, sharing our lives, sharing our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our failures. Lord, we want to start to open our hearts to each other in fresh ways. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would just minister to us. Would you draw us closer? Would you bind us more closely together? Lord, we're your community, your people here. And Lord, as we are united together, that says something to the world around us. It says something, Lord. We look across this room and there's not many places where you'd get this range of people all gathering together. And Lord, we want to be just a representation of what you do in people's lives to the Ramsden Estate. Lord, we want to pray, would you move us in mission together as well? Lord, would you move us out, Lord, more and more. Move us out, Lord. We want to pray that we would see other people being saved and added, coming in through our doors and meeting you, the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing your great love, your kindness, your forgiveness, your mercy, your love. Lord, we want to pray, would you be at work, Lord, amongst us? Why don't you just pray for the person that you've got in the... You might only have one hand, you might have two hands, but why don't you just pray for the people either side of you? Let's all just pray out loud now. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we cannot be snatched from your hands. Thank you, Lord. You're the one who gave your life for us. Lord, you're the one who sacrificed yourself so that we could be saved, that we could be set free, Lord, so that we could enjoy life in all its fullness. I want to pray across this room, Lord. We have different things going on in our lives, but Lord, where there's needs and where there's challenges and difficulties, Lord, would you just come and meet with each one of us? Lord, by your Spirit, would you just lift us up, Lord? Would you empower us, equip us, Lord? Would you lead us, Lord, into that fullness of life, Lord? Where maybe some of that's been robbed by things. Lord, we want to pray that each one of us would experience the fullness of life that you've given us. Lord, this year that we would experience the fullness of life. Lord, you've given us joy, peace, patience. Lord, would we experience some of that in our lives this year? We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing our closing song. I'm encouraged. I'm looking forward to 2020. I'm excited for what God's going to do amongst us. I, God is a great God, isn't he? He's amazing. He does more than we can ask or imagine. And I've got a fresh sense of faith. I've got a fresh sense of faith. I hope you have. Have you got a fresh sense of faith for what God's going to do?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, come on, we need more faith, Lord. Will we have more faith in this room? Are you excited? I'm excited for what God is going to do amongst us, okay? We need to celebrate. We're going to sing, He's a Good, Good Father. And He's a Good Father. And we're going to sing this song as it's written. And then I'm going to change the words. Okay, I'm going to look at Peter and he's going to think, what are you doing? I'm going to get us to change the words and we're going to sing it to each other. Which might sound a bit strange, but it's our belief that God wants to speak to us through this morning. So I'll hand over to Peter.